Background for the address on health reform. On March 29, 1908, she had penned a letter to Elder A.G. Daniels, president of the General Conference, relating to the experience of church members in Washington, D.C. After expressing her agreement with plans for the erection of a meeting house in Tacoma Park, she pointed out the responsibility of the believers and workers in Washington to witness to the thousands of residents in that area who had not yet heard the third angel's message. Workers were to bring to mind the words of Christ, "Ye are the light of the world, ye are the salt of the earth." Then under a subheading of backsliding in health reform, she wrote, "I am instructed to bear a message to all our people on the subject of health reform, for many have backslidden from their former loyalty to health reform principles. The light God has given is being disregarded. A true reformation needs to take place among the believers in Washington on the matter of healthful living. If the believers there will give themselves unreservedly to God, He will accept them. If they will adopt in the matter of eating and drinking the principles of temperance that the light of health reform has brought to us, they will be richly blessed. Those who have received instruction regarding the evils of the use of flesh meats, tea and coffee, and rich and unhealthful food preparations, and who are determined to make a covenant with God by sacrifice, will not continue to indulge their appetites for foods which they know to be unhealthful. God demands that the appetites be cleansed, and self-denial be practiced in regard to those things which are not good. This is a work that will have to be done before His people can stand before Him a perfected people. The Lord has given clear light regarding the nature of the food that is to compose our diet. He has instructed us concerning the effect of unhealthful food upon the disposition and character. Shall we respond to the counsels and cautions given? Who among our brethren will sign a pledge to dispense with flesh meats, tea, and coffee, and all injurious foods, and become health reformers in the fullest sense of the term?" Near the close of the letter of appeal, she wrote, "I am sure if you will begin in Washington to do this work of reform, in the school, in the printing office, and among all our working forces, the Lord will help you to present a pledge that will help the people to return from their backsliding on the question of health reform. And as you seek to carry out the will of the Lord in this particular, He will give you clearer understanding of what health reform will do for you. Because of the example set by influential men in the indulgence of appetite, the truth has not made the impression on hearts that it might have done. I appeal to you now to set an example in self-denial. Cut off every needless indulgence, that God may bless you with His approval and acceptance." Ellen White held the letter for a few weeks, then sent it in late May, 1908. Copies were sent at that time also to several members of the General Conference Committee. Dr. W. A. Rubel, Secretary of the General Conference Medical Missionary Council and a member of the General Conference Committee, who was promoting health reform interests in the denomination, sought permission almost immediately from Mrs. White's office to duplicate and circulate the letter. In response, W. C. White replied, "The testimony sent to Elder Daniels, dated March 29, regarding backsliding on health reform, contains some statements regarding local conditions in Washington which Mother desired that our brethren there should read and study, but which she does not think it would be well to give a wide circulation. That part of the testimony which is of general interest will soon be prepared for publication. DF 509, WCW to W. A. Rubel, July 24, 1908. Dr. Rubel's request was dated June 18, but Elder White delayed in responding until he could communicate with Elder Daniels, to whom the E.G. White letter in question was addressed. Daniels was in the field attending camp meetings. He replied on July 17, 1908, pointing out the pressure under which he had been working. Regarding the letter he had received from Sister White, he wrote, "One feature of the message perplexed me. I felt that I must have a little time and quiet calm to consider what was written. The point that perplexes me is the suggestion to circulate a temperance pledge which includes abstinence from flesh foods and some other foods known to be injurious. I feel that I need counsel regarding this before I shall know just how far to go in this direction. DF 509, AGD to WCW, July 17, 1908. In closing his letter to W.C. White, Daniels made an earnest request. As I am hoping to see you soon, I ask the privilege of talking with you about this question before taking steps to circulate a pledge. When we have done this and counseled with your mother, then I shall take the matter up just as she says the Lord directs that we should do. The health reform question is a great one and a perplexing one, Ibid. W.C. White reports that his mother gave hearty assent to this proposal. An interview between her, Elder Daniels, and W.C. White was held about 2 weeks later at her home, late in July or early in August, 1908. In a letter written in 1928, Elder Daniels recounted that experience. As expressed in my letter of July 17, 1908, addressed to Elder W.C. White, I felt the need of further counsel with Sister White before taking any action regarding the circulation of an anti-meat pledge. The Lord says, "Come now, and let us reason together." In my long association with Sister White, I had always found her ready to enter into the most careful and extended consideration of matters that perplexed me. I desired just such an interview with her concerning the anti-meat pledge suggested in her letter of March 29, 1908. This interview was granted me on my first visit to Sister White's home after making the request for it in my letter of July 17. In that interview, we talked over the food problems in various countries, Europe, Russia, South America, China, and various mission fields, as well as the situation in North America. We also talked at length about the circulation of an anti-meat pledge, whether it should be for the Washington, D.C., church or all our churches through the world. We reviewed the uninstructed condition of the masses of our people regarding the broad principles of health reform and the harm that had at various times been done by extremists. The conclusion reached by our study was that an extensive, well-balanced educational work should be carried on by physicians and ministers instead of entering precipitately upon an anti-meat pledge campaign. There was a clear understanding arrived at, and Sister White thereafter treated me and the whole matter according to that understanding. DF 509, AGD to WCW, April 11, 1928. In his interview seeking her counsel, Elder Daniels reviewed with her and W.C. White some of the experiences of church workers in certain parts of the world in which it had been necessary to eat some meat to sustain life. Ellen White herself knew something of such, for at times, particularly in Europe in the mid-1880s, she could not carry out in an ideal way the vegetarian principles that are not difficult to follow in other parts of the world. As her part in the educational work on health reform that she and Elder Daniels discussed, she moved into the preparation of the statement Faithfulness in Health Reform, to be read at the General Conference session. The fact that Elder Daniels counseled with Sister White about implementing what was suggested in the testimony has perplexed some. We would call attention to Ellen White's own statement as written in a letter on July 8, 1906, which sets forth certain principles. It requires much wisdom and sound judgment, quickened by the Spirit of God, to know the proper time and manner to present the instruction that has been given. In the early days of this cause, if some of the leading brethren were present when messages from the Lord were given, we would consult with them as to the best manner of bringing the instruction before the people. Faithfully I endeavor to write out that which is given me from time to time by the Divine Counselor. Some portions of that which I write are sent out immediately to meet the present necessities of the work. Other portions are held until the development of circumstances makes it evident to me that the time has come for their use. DF 107 grams, the writing and sending out of the testimonies to the church, pages 5, 6.